The Idaho Department of Health and Welfare is reporting an increase in rates of sexually transmitted diseases. In the last 5 years, syphilis cases in Idaho have increased by 300%, and gonorrhea rates in the Magic Valley have risen by 200%. This increase follows a national trend. State law, established in 1970, says, quote, "The legislature of the state of Idaho believes that the primary responsibility for family life and sex education rests upon the home, and the church and the schools can only complement and supplement those standards which are established in the family," end quote. Efforts were made to update the state's sex ed code in the last legislative session, but a bill stalled in a House committee. Joining me in studio to discuss the rise in STD rates are Brandon Atkins, a program manager focusing on reproductive health with the Central Health District Health Department, and with the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare, Amy Shipman. She's a section manager addressing HIV, STDs, and hepatitis infections, and Jared Barchi, HIV STD surveillance analyst within the epidemiology program in the Division of Public Health. A lot of health going on today. Welcome to each and every one of you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So let's begin. Let's talk about some of the trends that you've been seeing in 2018. What are you seeing, and how does it compare over like the last year or so versus maybe 5 to 10 years ago?
Well, statewide, we are at a very high level of STDs in our state, as reported through our public health systems. We are at record high levels of STD over the past 10 years. If we look back historically, we have higher rates of syphilis than we've ever seen since the 1950s, higher rates of gonorrhea since the 1980s. So it's a very high rate that we're seeing lately.
Well, we keep hearing about how Idaho is growing so quickly. Is this rate increase mirroring that sort of per capita growth rate with the population going up as well?
I think that what we see as far as the national trends are being reflected directly in our populations. And even if you were to take an individual, I think you have to look at some of the other factors that are contributing. But of course, if you see more people in a population, the number of people that have that opportunity to acquire an STD is increased. So you see that reflected.
Okay. Well, let's maybe break it down perhaps by infections. STDs, which ones are growing the fastest?
Absolutely. So I think that it's important to focus on some of the main trends that we see. Syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea should become household names that people are aware of and that are common, mm-hmm. that are being discussed within households. Again, having left that education to those households, we'd like to make sure they become common names because they're things that we're seeing increases in each one of them. And as far as what those rates look like, depending on what type of environment you live within, that may influence what you may or may not be influenced in getting. So, for example, if you live in a home where your access to health care is less than another, you may have an increased rate of acquiring an STI and not knowing that you carry that infection, because some of these infections are silent and you're not going to see that you actually have them from any given sign or symptom. So socioeconomical status is one of the major driving factors for some of the discrepancies that we see. Mm-hmm. You may see someone that lives in an area that's very close to the health department, for example, and has access to care where they can walk across the street and go in and receive a service very rapidly, or you may have someone in one of our more remote rural areas that doesn't have that same opportunity, isn't at higher risk.
So socioeconomic factors, environment, and you sort of just mentioned the rural-urban divide. Do you see different rates between rural and urban Idahoans?
I think that, again, the rates are reflective based on what our national trends look like. You may see that individuals are getting them. I think that what we are seeing in particular is that you won't catch as many of those cases in a rural community. You won't see as many because not as many of those individuals are being tested. We have a higher number of incidence rates that are being reported in areas where people can get tested because access to testing is easier to be mm-hmm. seen. So the more tests you offer, the easier it is to see those tests. So that would be the biggest discrepancy, but it doesn't mean that those that are affected are not within either of those populations.
Right. And I'll just be able to add that we are seeing increasing rates of syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia in many of our counties, whether they are rural or urban. So this is a very widespread geographically increase that we're seeing and affecting many demographic categories.
We're speaking with Brandon Atkins with Central District Health Department and Amy Shipman and Jared Barchi with the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. We'd like to hear from you. You can connect with us via email at our email address or find us on Twitter at KBSX915 or, of course, on our Facebook page. So what is the cause for this increase in STD transmission? Does it tie into sex education? Is there a direct correlation there?
Absolutely. I think that we would be if we weren't able to address and understand that because we don't have conversations where we make sexual health normalized health conversation that we have within our homes, within our schools, that it does create this barrier. And it's a trend that we're seeing that is being spread where people are getting their education. And if it's not happening in the home, you can guarantee that those children that need that education are getting on YouTube or are getting on some other source of media that's very readily available to their fingertips and getting their education that way. And unfortunately, we're not able to help cater to that message. Mm-hmm. While there are great messages that are out there, while our state health departments that function at a local level but also are overseen by the Department of Health and Welfare have great resources on each of our websites that are available. And we would love to steer people to only look at those informational topics. That's not realistic. We know that there are other good resources as well, but we can't winnow out those that are negative impacting resources as well that you can cop on and say, well, this is a normal behavior. We're not learning about this from any other way other than our favorite YouTuber who's talking about it, and they may just be joking about it. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people joke about chlamydia is not a flower, but, you know, What does that mean? A YouTuber may use that terminology, but they're not talking about what chlamydia really is. We want our kids to know what that is, and we need adults to know what it is.
So, Amy, I'm going to jump to you now. I've heard there's a Pew Research Center report from 2016 that linked the STD rate increase to the growth of mobile dating apps. What about that? Tinder, OkCupid, Grindr, all of our favorites. what's going on with that?
Yes, Rich, I think you may have read my mind. So there's a lot of national discussion, nationally access to anonymous sex is available and is increasing because of these online dating apps. So when you combine that with lack of adequate education or accurate information, you can see why rates are rising. You know, the state has worked with partners like Central District Health and other community-based organizations to help put advertising on these apps. You know, for example, there was a syphilis outbreak in the Treasure Valley a year and a half ago, and we put an ad on Grindr, and it was really eye-catching because there was a graphic, are you sure that's just a rash? And then at that point, you could click through to get more information about the syphilis outbreak in the Treasure Valley, that a rash could be a symptom of having syphilis, and places where you could get tested.
So, now, did you get a response from the community based on placing this ad? Were people surprised to see this sort of, you know, this warning on a dating app that, you know, can lead to basically anonymous sex?
I'm going to defer to Brandon.
Yeah, I think that informationally, a lot of people are not sharing that, hey, I saw that there was an ad for this on Grindr while I was hooking up and thought, wow, I probably should go get tested. So the efficacy of those ads is still a little bit of an unknown for us. We know that we can put them out there. We know that we can cater them to a locale where people are logging in and regionally seeing them. We know that people are getting on the apps. Mm-hmm. But as far as the responsiveness to that messaging and what people are learning from that, it still is left up in the air. We're not sure exactly how effective it is. We do know that people are testing. We know that people are coming in when they know have the ability to test.
Have you seen rises in people getting tests?
I think that so we've offered in the last 6 months two opportunities at our health department where we have a whole month long where individuals are able to come in and do STI testing for free. Mm-hmm. And we have seen an increase in not only clients that we have seen historically, but also new clients that are coming in to have that happen. So I would have to say that, yes, in the last year, we have seen a rise in our clients that know that that service is available and that are testing for it.
Now, let's talk a little bit more about the socioeconomic factors playing into transmission rates. I mean, what does that mean? Does that link to access to condoms, to birth control, sort of maybe preventative medicine being more available to some than others? How does that work?
It can. You know, we have a network of partners, including health districts and other organizations and clinics. and we work with them to get condoms into the communities. However, you know, access is defined differently depending on which community you're in. And so we understand that there can be barriers to certain populations at the community level to getting these resources.
So how are you and your respective agencies connecting with the communities to deliver information and education necessary to slow down and prevent the increase in STD transmission? What are you specifically each of your organizations doing to hyper-focus on that?
We're really focusing on providers, and we do rely heavily on our health districts and community-based organizations to reach out to providers. The idea is that the more providers that you have on board talking about sexual health and sexual history with their clients and making recommendations about frequency and type of testing, you know, the better off their client populations will be.
Okay. And is it a challenge to make people feel open and comfortable talking about something like this, I'm imagining?
Absolutely. I mean, we love at the public health level to be offered the opportunity to go in and speak to school nurses for our West Ada County and Boise school districts and can help direct if we're brought into health classes, but we have very limited access to what we can present. And we have STD presentations that have been observed and that have been allowed that are within the context of what that educational setting should have based on the guidance that the school districts determine. But the important aspect we need to understand is that there's a lot more than just those educational tidbits that we're snipping down into a 20-minute to 40-minute presentation that they get once a semester in a health class in perhaps eighth grade or your junior year in high school. That's really what we're missing out on. We're missing out on the opportunity that these individuals, this 14 to 24-year-old age range, are the drivers of two of our largest outbreak populations. Chlamydia, gonorrhea, both of those numbers are driven by those age populations in those range. Syphilis is a little bit higher end and may have some targeted populations, but we're missing a huge educational opportunity with this age range.
Well, we want to make what are the names that we need to make household names again? One more time:
chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, HIV.
let's all stand up and say them with pride.
Yeah.
Brandon Atkins is a program manager with the Central District Health Department. Amy Shipman is a section manager, and Jared Barchi is an epidemiology surveillance analyst. They are both with the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. Thanks to all of you for coming in today and giving us a little bit of sex ed here on the air on a Friday.